I'd like to speak to you on those two words this afternoon, and those two words are knowing Christ. Knowing Christ. I want to think about that by way of introduction. When you say that you know someone, well, I know someone, or I know this individual. A couple of things by way of introduction. We can say that we know someone because we recognize him or her, because we can distinguish what is different about him compared to other people. I know so-and-so. He you know, there's a certain way that he looks, and that's why we know him, because he has a distinguishing, maybe a distinguishing look or an attribute, physically speaking, about him. Secondly, we can say that we know someone because we are acquainted with them. We are acquainted not only with them individually, but we're acquainted with what they do. I go to the same baker and I buy my bread there. I don't know if we do. I don't know if you do that, but or the same butcher. Maybe we would. I know Butcher Bob because I see Butcher Bob once or twice a week, and I know him because he's a butcher. But really, we don't know anything about Butcher Bob except that he cuts our meat. But we know him, though. We can still say we know Butcher Bob because of what he does. We can say, number three, we can say that we know someone because we actually have had conversations with them. Now, Butcher Bob, you might have a hi and bye, or, you know, what's on sale this week, or, wow, prices have gone up a little bit, or, you know, the chicken last week that you sold me was fabulous. I'd like to have some more of that, or whatever. But, I mean, it's all centered around really only what he does. But then when we get outside of the realm of what someone does and we begin to converse with them, now we can know them on a different level besides just their job, so to speak. In other words, we have carried on a conversation. Even if it was only once, we've carried on a conversation. I was filling the baptismal tank yesterday, and this is really exactly what we're talking about here. Pastor Dirks is the pastor of the church there, and that church has been so kind to us in letting us use their baptistry literally for almost really 19 years. We've used it off and on for 19 years. That's amazing. And he said, you know, I was up in somewhere in BC. I forgot the city. It doesn't really matter right now. But he said, we went to this church, and it was an independent Baptist church. And he couldn't remember the pastor's name, and he tried to tell me the name. He thought it was somebody else, but it wasn't the right name. It was Pastor Tom Klein. Maybe some of you know Pastor Tom Klein, or you know that name. And he said, you know what? We were there in the church that day, and he said, you know what? He looked so familiar to me, but I couldn't remember why. Anyway, to make a long story short, they had been in the same campground 4 years previous. And Pastor Dirk's family was outside their camping area singing Christian songs unto the Lord. And, of course, that attracted Brother Tom Klein over, Pastor Klein over. And so they began talking about the things of the Lord and connected. And so then this past year, they went to the church, and he didn't even know that Pastor Tom Klein was the pastor, didn't even know it was the guy who he'd camped with. And so what I'm saying is, after they realized, hey, I know you, but it was only because they had talked for a few hours 4 years ago. But they could still say, I know you. We can say that we know someone as well because we spend time with them in the same house. Like a family member, right? Do you know your family members? I would hope you know your family members better than the butcher, right? We're going somewhere. I would hope we know our children better than, the where we get our lattes. If you're into those. But saying that we know someone really is a broad swipe, broad brush, right? Oh, I know that person. You met them once, talked to them for 2 seconds, but we know them. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying when we say that we know someone, what do we really mean by that? Nextly, we can say that we know someone because we have committed our life to them. We have committed to sharing every circumstance with them, as in your mate if you're married. You know, we say we know Christ, I've given you about five different scenarios. Sometimes saying less is more, right? Not that I'm going to pray and we're going to go home. Where are you in knowing Christ? Did you you spoke to him once a few weeks ago? You went to him when you needed something. That's the butcher. Hey, that's where we're at today, folks. I'm there and you're there. We're not having an invitation yet, but we probably should. Or is our knowledge and do we know Christ because every day, we're talking to him. We're walking with him. We're listening to him. This is what Paul wanted. He wanted to know Christ. Spurgeon said this, they tell me he is a refiner, that he cleanses from spots. He has washed me in his precious blood, and to that extent, I know him. I wonder, do you know him in that extent? What is that extent? Savior. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have your sins been forgiven? Have your sins been washed and made clean? That's what one way we can know him as Savior. They tell me that he clothes the naked. He hath covered me with a garment of righteousness. And to that extent I know him. They tell me that he is a breaker, that he breaks fetters. He has set my soul at liberty, and therefore I know him. Oh, I wonder, have we let Christ help us break free from sin? Are we knowing Christ to the point where we don't want to be held captive to the old way of thinking and the old way of living anymore? Yes, we even, unfortunately, bring some of that into this new life that Jesus has given us. Oh, that's not what he saved me for. He didn't save me to live like I used to live. He saved me and made me a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do we know him as someone who has set us free from that old life? He said, they tell me that he is a king, that he reigns over sin. He hath subdued my enemies beneath his feet, and I know him in that character. They tell me he is a shepherd. I know him, for I am his sheep. They say he is a door. I have entered in through him, and I know him as a door. They say he is food. My spirit feeds on him as on the bread of heaven, and therefore I know him as such. Oh, I know Christ. I know Jesus Christ. What does that word mean to you? That word know. Paul gives us several things to think about of knowing Christ. Could you, with me for just a moment, could you think about the day you got saved? Think about the day you got saved. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, 6 months ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. When was it? You don't answer it out. Don't have to answer it out loud necessarily. But right now, in your spirit, in your being, in your heart, if you're saved, there should be something starting to get a. Maybe your pulse should be at least going up a little bit. Thinking about the day you got saved. Thinking about the way that God has worked in your life from that very day and even before that until now. Thinking back to when the Holy Spirit of God brought conviction in my heart and brought conviction in your heart that you were a guilty sinner, that I was a guilty sinner in great need of something. Think back to that moment when the Lord Jesus Christ, through His Spirit, brought conviction to your soul and brought conviction to your heart that you know that you needed to be saved. And you said, yes, that's what I need. I need Christ. And you called on Him. And you know what the Bible says? You were saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thus began a journey of knowing Christ. Thus began a journey. What a moment! Hold your finger in Philippians 3 and turn with me to John 3. John 3, many of you could quote it. Look at John 3:15. That whosoever believeth in Him should not what? Perish, but have what kind of life? Eternal life. He goes on to say in verse 16, everlasting life at the end of it. When you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have an eternal relationship that never will be severed. Not even when you die. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It's eternal life. It's everlasting life. In Philippians 3, as we go back to our text, we see this word to be in Christ. To be in Christ is in verse number 9. We read that earlier last week. Means to be clothed in His righteousness. It refers to that salvation. That is not what Paul is talking about in verse 10 and 11, which is what we're talking about today. We're getting there now, quickly. To be in Christ doesn't mean there, or that, excuse me, that I may know Him in verse 10 isn't referring to knowing Him as Savior. That already happened in verse number 9. That I may know Him in verse number 10 refers to knowing the one that saved me. Who saved us? Who saved you? Matthew chapter number 1, the Bible says they would call His name Jesus. For He will do what? He will save His people from their sins. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He is the only hope. And when He saved us, He didn't just say, okay, you're saved now, Ben. See you when you get to heaven. No, He saved me not only to be freed from the penalty of sin, but that He had created me in good works, Ephesians 2:10, that we might that I might do good works and glorify my Father, His Father, which is in heaven. He said, okay, Ben, now you're on the team. Okay, Ben, now you're in the family. Now you need to know me. I wonder today, is there so many people here today that would say, yes, 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 I know Him as Savior, but that's where it stopped. You know, praise the Lord, the devil can't take your soul once you're saved. Amen? The devil has no jurisdiction over your soul once you're his. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Once and for all. But I'll tell you what, the devil would like nothing more than to have a bunch of baby Christians filling up a church like Anchor Baptist Church that they only know Him as Savior and know Him as nothing else. Why is the world the way that it is? It's not because of the world. The world's always been that way. Just read the Bible. The world has been a mess since Genesis. It's never changed. The world is the way that it is in one respect because too many believers, too many Christians only know God, only know Jesus as Savior and nothing else or very little else. No, we need some graduate level Christians, and I'm not talking about prideful, but no, we need to get into this book. We need to say, oh yes, I know Him. Beyond just what can you give me, being my name is Jimmy. What can you do for me? Oh, yes, He wants to provide. That's why He says many times in the Bible, ask, ask. But if that's all we know Him as, is someone who can meet a need, we're missing it. That I may know Him. In these two verses, the Apostle Paul covers several things about the Lord Jesus Christ that we must strive to know. Let's get into this. Number one, we need to know His power. You see it there in verse number 10? That I may know Him and the power. And the power. And the power. And the power. Do you know the power of His resurrection? Do you know the power of His resurrection? Do you know the power of the Lord Jesus Christ? My friend, you may have walked in here today with an addiction. And I'm not talking about the ones that we immediately think of. But those might be included as well. You realize that there's no reason for us to battle with any addictions when we have the power of Christ that is available to us? This power of Christ was not just for the people in the New Testament. This power of Christ, this power of God, was not just something that was available to somebody like an Elijah or an Elisha. Oh, read the lives of Elijah and Elisha. Take a week and read about Elijah and read about Elisha and read about how the power of God was on those two men. And yet that power is available to us today. When Paul said, I want to know him, he wanted to know, number one, about his power. The word know means to be familiar with or acquainted with. When is the last time we could point to something and say, that was God? I want that in my life more than I see it right now. And it's not God's fault. It's how much do I want to know the power of God? And by the way, living a life in contrast to this book right here is a sure way to not experience the power of God. Because God is not going to put his power on someone who ignores the clear commands and teachings of his word. But someone that says, you know what? I see now there's some things in my life that need to be done away with. I see some things in my life that are missing. Oh God, thank you so much for showing that to me. I need to have these things in my life. I need to get rid of these things in my life. And we get in tune with the word of God and lined up. Watch out, because that's when we can see the power of God in our life. Paul said, I want that knowledge of his power. It's not a hocus pocus power. It's real. As much as the demons of this world are real, our God is more powerful. And I think sometimes we're so enamored with just the mundane and the normal. No, I don't want that. I want to know his power. How many times a week have things been brought into your life and you say, I could really use some help with this? I'm not talking about lifting up a box, not that kind of power. Although maybe we need help with that too. Paul said that I may know him. Having an intimate bond. To know someone is to have an intimate bond. It's to have a personal relationship. It's to have a friendship. Paul wanted to know the power that only Jesus Christ could provide. Letter A, this power comes through a relationship. This power comes through a relationship. Saving knowledge becomes the foundation for pursuing a deeper knowledge of Christ. Saving knowledge becomes the foundation for pursuing a deeper knowledge of Christ. Are you on the pursuit? Salvation is not just fire insurance. Hello? Salvation is not just fire insurance. It is so much more than that. Praise God, it keeps us from going to hell. But it's so much more than that. God has so much more for you. He has so much more for me. It's a relationship. Do you desire to know more than saving knowledge? Are you pursuing his power? Am I pursuing his power? John Milton said this, the end of all learning is to know God, and out of that knowledge, to love and imitate him. How many God imitators do we have today? Oh, I'm not saying I am one. I'd like to be one on a greater level. I'd like to imitate him in a greater way. But that's what the power does. It helps us to imitate. It helps us to imitate our Savior, to follow his path, to follow his plan. It's a relationship. Today we have too many times where Christians are more of an imitation of the old man than the new life in Christ. Look, if we know him, that's our whole thing, knowing Christ. If we know him as he wants us to know him, we will want nothing to do with our old way of living. It will be like whatever you think is bitter. I don't know what is bitter in your taste buds. Everybody's taste buds are different here today. But whatever you think is a bitter taste, that's exactly what it would be like if we were to start living the old way and we know better and the power of Christ says, no, don't go that way. And it becomes bitter in our mouth and we want nothing to do with it. His power comes through a relationship. Christ in raising man into union with himself, raises him into all that belongs to him. Listen to this quote, into his divine life and into partnership with his divine work. When God saved you, when God saved me, we became co-laborers together with Christ. You are not expected to be a husband by yourself. You are a husband, you are a co-laborer with Christ as a husband, as a wife, as a believer, as a brother, as a sister in Christ. Co-laborers together, it's a relationship. Letter B, his power comes through his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I ask you this question. Who wouldn't want, why wouldn't everyone want to exchange their weakness for Christ's power? I've got weaknesses. You've got weaknesses. Why am I holding on to them? Why are we holding on to them? Paul says, I don't want to hold on to my weakness. I want to know him, and I want to know him through his resurrection, this power that is available. We looked at this word in Sunday school. It's the word dunamis. It's the word strength. It's the word power. It's the word ability. It's the word that we get our English word dynamite from. When a stick of dynamite is placed in something and you light the fuse and you get away really quick. I know they don't even do it that way. You get it's all tied into the thing. My dad used to work with dynamite on clearing roads for highways and things. You know what dynamite does? It changes things. It changes things. Do you know when the power of God comes in? Do you know when the Holy Spirit of God comes in through a truly born-again believer, to someone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and they want to know the one who saved them by that relationship and that resurrection? There is a power that comes into their life that they are dramatically changed. They're not the same anymore. What happened to you? Are you okay? I'm fine. I got saved. What happened to you? You're not using language anymore like that. You're not telling bad jokes anymore. You're not laughing at dirty jokes anymore. You're not doing the, what happened to you? I got saved. You got what? God changed my life. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ now. You know, that's what a Christian is. A Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. Do you know where Jesus Christ is going to lead you? He's going to lead you to the Word of God. He's going to lead us away from the world. He's going to lead us away from the flesh. He's going to lead us away from the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He's going to lead us away because there's great power involved. It's a power that changes things. The power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, this would be the power of God through the Holy Spirit. The flesh could never produce what we have in Christ. I'm sad to say, many pastors, and I'm sure there's been times in the 18 plus years that I have pastored, that I have tried to do this in the arm of the flesh. Fail. Today, I guess it's called an epic fail. Well, that's what it is. You name it. If you try to do it in the arm of the flesh as a believer, it's not going anywhere in a hurry. We can't create what we have in Christ with the flesh. We can't create this emotion. Unfortunately, some churches have bought into this thing where we have to create something with an emotional experience. I'm all for emotion. I'm all for crying. I'm all for all of that. And I'm all for having the joy of the Lord. But there is something about the Word of God and the power of God that is before emotion, that cannot be worked up by anything man-made. But we can know His power through that relationship and through that resurrection. Number two. We need to know Him, number two, by His presence. Look at the end of verse 10. And the fellowship. We have a birthday and anniversary fellowship. Okay? We can learn even from that terminology about this one. Birthday and anniversary fellowship gets someone to sit down by someone who they may not have sat down by in the last 2 months. Oh, hey, how's life? There's something that can take place right there that doesn't take place maybe every Sunday. Not that it should. It should take place more often than a birthday and anniversary fellowship. But I'm just giving you an example. Paul said, I'd like to know Him. I'd like to know Him. I would like to know Him in His presence through fellowship. What kind of fellowship? Not the kind most of us are going to sign up for. He said the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Letter A is personal fellowship. Personal fellowship. This word fellowship means communion. It means communication. It means distribution. Wiersbe said this about this text. Paul walked with Christ, prayed, obeyed His will, sought to glorify His name. When he was living under the law, all Paul had was a set of rules. But now he has a friend, a master, and a constant companion. And to that I say, amen. You see, He's not just my Savior from hell. He's my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's not just my Savior from hell. I'm thankful for that, please. I'm not undermining that at all. But He is my master. When He says, go, I want to go. Why? Because He's not telling me to go, because He's leading me somewhere where he's not already at. We know Him, we know that to be His omnipresence. That I may know Him through this fellowship, this personal fellowship. Letter A, personal fellowship. Letter B, not only a personal fellowship, but letter B, an experienced fellowship. Have you ever heard somebody say, the closest I ever was to the Lord is when I was going through a great difficulty? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever experienced that? You know why? Because it's true. Because that's what Paul says right here. That I may know Him because of the fellowship of His sufferings. He did not say His miracles. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, God did not have Him put miracles in there. He said by His sufferings. As we read Philippians 1:10, please, quickly. Philippians 1:10. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ. We have someone who suffered far more than we ever will. Romans 8:17 says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. How often are we knowing Him in His presence? Every day we should be in His presence, in His Word. When God allows a difficulty to come into your life, we have the privilege of knowing Him in a different way. No one here wants those things to come, but I think we would all agree that there's something about being in the emergency room of a hospital. There's something about being at the bedside of someone who's dying of cancer, and I'm not belittling any of those things. I've been in all of those situations, and I'm sure I'll be in another situation like that. I'm sure there's some in here today. I know there's some in here today, actually, that chronically right now, chronically you're in pain. I'm not in chronic pain, so I don't know how that feels. I'm not going to try and imagine how that feels. But I know this. Whatever it is that God has allowed into your life, you can know Him in the midst of that suffering. That I may know Him. That I may know Him. He says it right there. Because of His suffering, the fellowship of His suffering, that is the joining in to that suffering. So Paul says, I want to know Him by His power, number one. I want to know Him by His presence, number two. But lastly, he says, number three, in verse 11, I want to know Him through His perfection. Through His perfection. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. We see letter A, a spiritual goal. A spiritual goal. Let's look at that word attain. The word attain. It means to achieve or accomplish. It means to reach by efforts. Go with me in your Bible, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. See, Paul had a spiritual goal. What was Paul's spiritual goal? His spiritual goal was that he would live in such a way. He would live in such a way that his life that had been saved by grace, amen? That his life that had been saved by grace would live in such a way that it would bring glory to his Savior. By the way, Paul reminded the Corinthian church here at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he reminded them about himself in verse 9. He said, for I am the least. I am the least of the apostles. That I am not meet to be called an apostle. I'm not really qualified to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Like he says there in verse 11, I know we're going back to our text now. If by any means I might attain, I might achieve. I recognize, in other words, here's another way to look at it. I know where I came from. And where I came from was, I persecuted the church of God. I thought I was doing God a help when I really was going against Him. And I have a goal that my life now would always say, would always point to the Lord. Oh, that's easier said than done, isn't it? It's possible because of the power that we spoke of earlier. It's possible. He said, I have a goal to bring glory to my Savior. I have a goal to live a life in such a way that it would lead others to salvation. In knowing Christ, we have a goal, is what I'm getting at. It isn't to say, I know Christ. I've memorized this many verses and I've read the Bible through this many times. Wonderful. Again, do it. Please, we need to do more of it. But that we're knowing Him, that we can say, because I know Him, I want every day, I want every week, I want every month, year, whatever I have left on the face of this earth, I want my life to bring glory to God. I want my life to bring honor to God. I don't want to bring shame to the name of Christ. And we can. This can happen. Why? Because we know Him. Not like we know any of those first illustrations. But that we know someone because we've had a lot of communication with them. We've listened to them talk. That's his spiritual goal. Letter B, we see an eternal relationship. An eternal relationship. At conversion, believers experience the power of a spiritual resurrection. We are given new life. Praise the Lord. A new spiritual energy characterizes the new life in Christ. Yet this powerful life only begins at conversion. Successfully and progressively, the moral life must be changed. I love that little song, "He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be." He's still working on us. That's a blessing. Successfully and progressively, the moral life must be changed. The physical body ultimately will be transformed and believers brought to the eternal resting place of the resurrection, heaven itself. The transformation does not happen at once. It culminates in the attaining of the resurrection from the dead. Praise God, when you're saved, you only die once. You're born twice, you die once. If you're unsaved today and you die without Christ, that's the least of your concern, is dying physically. Because then you're going to die spiritually for all eternity. That's why it's so important when the Holy Spirit of God says, hey, let me in. It's time to get saved. That we don't reject the Holy Spirit of God. That we respond to that conviction and we say, yes, I'm unworthy, but I want to be saved. The resurrection it culminates in the attaining of the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection occurs at the time of the Lord's return to earth. That will finalize the application of resurrection power to the Christian. That's what we're looking forward to. I praise God that this life is not forever. This is not heaven. One day we will be freed from this body of sin. One day we will be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says here, I am looking forward to that eternal relationship. It's beginning, it's happening now, but it culminates by living in heaven forever. Praise God. You see, there's much to know about the Christian life. Paul said that I may know Him. Knowing Christ. Do you know Christ? Do you know Him as Savior? If not, please. Humble yourself and bow the knee. He will not cast you out. He will not turn you away because He gives grace to the humble. But by the way, He did not save me simply to only know Him just as Savior. He did not save me simply to know Him as somebody who can give me something. He wants me to know Him for everything that I need in my life. How do you know Him? Paul said that I may know Him. The one great desire that we must have is a pursuit of knowing Christ. And I truly believe if you're saved, that desire will be in your heart. Somebody who is dead wants to pursue how much? Nothing. Right? If we had a dead corpse here, and I'm not trying to be unkind, but that dead corpse will not be able to pursue anything. It's dead. That's how we are before Christ. Before we get saved, we're dead in trespasses and sins. Right? And when God saves us, what happens? He breathes new life into us. And what happens is, we're now alive. And now because we're alive, there is a pursuit that takes place. And that's what Paul said, that I may know Christ.